the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, you know, Mike James and his group down there, who really do such a good job of everything, they're having, you know, they have what they call their leadership luncheons. Well, they're having one on Tuesday, December the 6th, and it's really, they're all really good. But then what they're going to do, they're introducing a new award. You know, they give the Jim Thorpe Award to the best defensive back in college football. They're also, this year, they're starting a new award. They're going to give it to the top defensive back of the HBCUs, historically black college universities. Okay? They're going to name the award after Aeneas Williams, the Phoenix, Arizona Hall of Famer. He's got a bust in Canton. But anyway, Williams played at Southern at Baton Rouge. So this award is going to be named after Aeneas Williams, who was going to be the guest speaker at the leadership luncheon on December the 6th. So if you might want to mark that down, and if you need to try to get tickets or what, you know, you can look up the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame website, or you can call over there and ask for Olivia or Justin or one of them and get on. But that'll be a neat deal. That's really a, I mean, you know, Mike travels all over the country to on the you know, watching these guys play and talking to the right people and everything on that Jim Thorpe Award, which has become really a neat big time award. Well, this will too, and that's a neat thing that they're doing. So that particular luncheon again is December the 6th, and you know, you can find out about it on the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame website.
Aeneas Williams, December 6th.
Yeah. Aeneas Williams was a superstar.
Cool. Yeah.
And I know gosh. I know that he's in the Hall of Fame, so it may sound funny when I say I don't know that he got the credit that he deserved.
Well, I know
it. He played a long time out there in Arizona.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of those years, they weren't always in the playoffs. But
right.
Trust me, I saw him because that's back when Arizona was in the division with Dallas. So I
right,
watched him play.
Right, right, right.
I'm reading this.
Really a good player.
Third round pick, late third, pick 59, third round pick in 91. Again, played the majority of his career with Arizona. Now, he was able to get to a Super Bowl with the Rams, the one that they lost to the Patriots. This guy was one of those kind of guys. Three-time first-team All-Pro. I had forgotten, Pat, he was in the Hall of Fame, but he absolutely deserves to be.
Oh, gosh,
so
yes.
So this is really cool. This is a great idea by the Jim Thorpe
Association. It really is. Yeah. Again, they're going to kind of introduce that award on December the 6th. I believe the February the 7th they will actually give in the Jim Thorpe Awards, you know, and all. But this is a neat deal. So, again, you know, pencil in December the 6th. Call and look into it and get you some tickets and go to the leadership luncheon down there. Now, did y'all watch the Green Bay, Tennessee?
Yes.
See, I didn't watch a bit of it. I, you know, again, you know me, it's on the shopping channel, and I've got it, and I just didn't want to fool with it, you know, in the TV or any of that stuff. So I didn't. Now, so Big Henry didn't have 100, but he played good, Hunter, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers were gearing up to stop him. I mean, you know, that's that, and because of that, I think it credit
Tannehill. Tannehill
it
must have played good.
Tannehill, because Tannehill played about as well as he can play. In my,
I was
going to
say,
anyway.
Except
for the one he threw one pick where he didn't see a quarterback that had dropped back into coverage. But no, he did. Like Matt said, he for 333 had a QBR of 77.7, threw a couple of touchdowns. Henry threw a touchdown pass.
On a little jump pass.
Traylon Burks,
stuff.
The Arkansas kid,
Burks,
caught a deep
Burks
ball in the very
that.
First drive of the game. They had a
okay.
nice first drive.
Is that the 51-yarder, Greg?
Yeah. He caught a big one on the first drive, and they move it right down the field for the touchdown. Burks ended up with 7 for 111.
111, pass. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Robert Woods, the tight end, Austin Hooper, caught a couple of touchdowns, including the one from Henry and then one later from Tannehill. Hilliard had a touchdown grab, Pat, his only catch. And Aaron Rodgers was just off last night. He really was. Mm.
Could they run the ball? You know?
No. Aaron Jones, 12 carries for 40 yards.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
Jones, 12 for 40, and Dillon was 6 for 13.
Yeah, Tennessee put an end to that.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Henry becomes the first back NFL-wise to get 1,000 this year.
Did it last night?
You know,
that's right.
You lay on. Again, Tannehill, 22 for 27 for 333. And you know, Tannehill, we've talked about. I mean, he's athletically, I think, better than people realize he is, but he's not John Elway or some kind of thing. But and then Burks is a big kid to Arkansas. The Arkansas kid is, I mean, he's a big, good-looking player. Well, you know, I was looking at those stats, and, You know, Tennessee had a 51, a 32, a 42, a 31, and a 19. You know, so obviously they got big plays. And, you know, Green Bay was loading up to stop the run, like y'all are saying. But anyway, that puts Tennessee at 7-3 and Green Bay at 4-7, huh?
Tennessee looked the part of one of the top teams in that conference last night. They really did to me. And I'm a guy that normally I kind of say, yeah, nice football team, but they're not good enough at quarterback. They can't throw it well enough to win the big games. But I tell you what, last night, and I know Green Bay has had a tough year, but they were coming off a big win. It was at Lambeau. It was rocking early and so forth. And Tennessee just put a stop to that, quieted the crowd. They were far the better team last night. I was very impressed with Tennessee last night.
What was the weather up there? Was it snowing and all, or real
cold? It was some snow flurries.
Yeah.
Some snow flurries early, then it didn't snow for most of the game, then a few snow flurries late. There was some wind. I mean, it was and it was cold, obviously.
Lambeau seemed worse.
Yeah, not the greatest passing conditions, but
no, it wasn't not, great. But Lambeau has seen worse.
I mean, well, I was going to
for Lambeau, it's a nice evening, Pat.
Yeah, what I'm, you know, Tennessee is one of those teams, obviously with Big Henry, that is geared to go and play in that kind of weather.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because of what they are and everything. Well,
goodness, and Henry looks as good to me, Pat. I mean, he just looks healthy.
Yeah.
There were a number of times, right, Matt, last night, where they would hand it to him like four or five times in a row.
Yeah.
Then he'd take a brief rest or whatever. But I mean, even though it was by his standards, it wasn't a great night, 28 for 87.
Statistically, sure.
He had some impressive runs, and he got a couple of passes for 45, and he threw the touchdown pass. He looks good to me right now, Pat.
I thought he looked a little bit trimmer to me, you know. When I last, you know, and he is. I mean, he could arguably be the best back out there. That's an interesting deal, guys. Speaking of cold weather and everything, see Tulsa. University of Tulsa plays South Florida over here tonight.
8 o'clock, right? Late kick.
Oh, my goodness. South Florida, think about this now. They get into town probably yesterday, you know. They've already fired the Scott, the coach down there. You got interim guys coaching. And now you got to go out and it's going to be really wicked. They'll be lucky to have 5,000 people out there tonight, doggone it, you know. And this is senior night for the Tulsa kids and the whole deal. And so, goodness sakes.
Well, they're favored to win. I'd like to see them at least get one more win. End with Houston, I think. Is that a
good play? They do. And that's always a big deal. And I hope they don't make a coaching change over there. But, you know, that's selfishly because I like Montgomery. And quite honestly, I think he's done about as good a job as he can do. But you know, that might be kind of looming. Boy, Tulane jumped all after SMU. That's the one I watched for about the first half. And you know, that was SMU's having a good year. You know, of course, Tulane, but that thing was 28-7. Before you could get going. I mean, Tulane's at Tulane, and, you know, they built them a neat little stadium over where the Sugar Bowl used to be and all, but, they got after SMU.
And they were only favored by 3.5 points in that game.
Yeah,
beat them 59-24.
I know it, yeah.
Tulane, it was a bounce-back deal. You know, they had a big one with Central Florida last week.
Yep.
And UCF beat them, which kind of surprised me a little bit.
I know it.
But, yeah, that was a really nice bounce-back performance. So now in that league, you've got Tulane 6-1, UCF and Cincinnati at 5-1. And Tulane plays Cincinnati in the last game of the year.
Yep.
So that will
could be to
obviously go
to
a long ways to determine who gets in the conference championship game.
Yeah, and who could go to one of the five big major bowls.
That's
big bowls.
Yep.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
That's somebody a big ball game.
Somebody ought to hire Willie Fritz. That's that coach at Tulane.
Oh, yeah.
He's a little bit of a junkyard dog as far as from his background and everything. I mean, not a high-profile guy. I don't mean to be derogatory and say that. I mean, this guy's worked his you-know-what off, and all of a sudden they've got a good football team. They do good things. They've got a good football team. So.
Beat Kansas State this year. Came very close to beating
exactly
Oklahoma
right.
a year ago. You know, he's got it going on. You know, Tulane's an interesting job. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great job, Pat, but in the state of Louisiana, I would think you could get some ball players down there.
Well,
the
academically, academically, you know, it's a little harder to keep guys eligible at Tulane.
Is that right? Okay.
And I don't want to try to rip up the public education in the state of New Orleans, but you know what I mean.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
It's a unique. It used to be in the Southeastern Conference. Craig can remember. Tulane and Georgia Tech were in the SEC, and they played their home games. The Sugar Bowl stadium was on the campus at Tulane, and it was about 82,000 seat stadium or whatever it was, and the whole deal. But no, they'll get some players. It's been up and down. I've known a number of guys that have coached down there and played down there over the years, and they used to come up and recruit up in Arkansas pretty good. In fact, Benny Ellender was head coach at Arkansas State and had a couple of big years. Ellender went down there. They hired Tulane, hired him, and he had some good years. And, you know, Larry Smith was down there. And remember when, one of the Bowdens ran the table that year. Remember? It went, they were 13-0 or whatever.
Is that Tommy?
Tommy, I think. Yeah.
Tommy.
Or he then went to Tommy. Then he goes to Clemson. But, yeah, they ran the table down there.
Mac had success down. Wasn't that Mac Brown that was there?
Mac Brown went there.
He went down there.
From OU.
Watson was at UAB. Yeah, it was Mac
Watson
Brown.
Mac was here with the 84 season.
84
season.
84.
The year that he was here.
Well, I've told you, the interesting thing there, and Mac is, I think, a really good football coach and a good guy. Now, he's as politically sound as anybody out there, and I've told you all this story. When he took, of course, I think he was the AD at Tulane, went and took a head coach AD job down there. You know who he brought in to kind of observe the program and to make recommendations when he got that job? Darryl Royal.
Oh, wow.
Which ended up being, and usually you'll pay a guy $4,000 or $5,000 to come in and do that.
I follow you.
You know what I mean? Mac is politically very astute at those kinds of things. But then later on, the rest is history in that regard. I don't blame him.
That's kind of what you do. I mean, that's interesting, and we kid a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I'll say this. Down there at UT, it seems the last decade or so. Now, the first thing you got to do at Texas is go get Vince Young and Ricky Williams and players like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. But I don't think it's a secret that being savvy politically, that comes into play down there. There's a lot of – you kind of have to play some games down there. So maybe that's why Mac had so much success. I don't know.
State capital of the state of Texas, obviously. Right. You know, and you've got a lot of people that – down in there, allegedly, I've known guys over the years, a lot of them have coached down there. You got a lot of people that want to try to coach that team. Plus, you got, financially a lot of factions, given the oil industry and what's all going on.
Yeah, that's what
University
I mean.
University of Texas is such a monster, obviously, that you put a lot of people out, which means you got a lot of them out there that think they can tell you what to do. So, it's, it is. And Sarkisian's 11-11, guys, right now.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Pat, speaking of politics, real quick, I do want to run this by you. What they talked about yesterday, this letter from Lead One, proposing a COO of college football.
Yeah. Right.
And basically, at the end of it, they said, failing implementation of these recommendations, our FBS athletic directors are in favor of examining options for such decision-making outside of the NCAA. So basically what they want to do is have a chief operating officer, but they want to have like a football governing board, they said comprised of people with significant football knowledge, appointed by their conferences and so forth. But they want to have – have that board decide all matters related to FBS football, except for rules related to academics, financial aid, health and safety.
Right.
They want to keep that under the umbrella so the NCAA would remain the legal shield for that part of it.
Well,
but what do you think about this, Pat?
They've been listening to this show because we've been talking about it for 15 years.
That's right.
This is a czar. It's like Gavitt and basketball.
You've heard me. That's right. Exactly.
You've heard. You know, the basketball guys got well better organized, way better organized than the football people. They always have. The basketball did this same thing years ago. Just to get the things passed, implemented that you want, and use some common sense in the thing. But you can't, the presidents and the people that run the people that run the institutions, they're not going to get cut out of the deal. They're not going to. So what this is, they're right. And then you involve presidents and you involve the NCAA as far as again, the eligibility stuff, academic standards, these kinds of things.
Issues. They want to remain under the NCAA. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All that. So, no. They've been listening to this show for the last 15 or so years, how long we've ever been doing this thing, because it's exactly what, and I've been calling it the czar, but that's exactly what they're talking about.
That's exactly what it is. No, that's right.
Yeah. So, this has been, they've known this for a long time, but finally they're getting, a limited enough guys with some clout in a room. You've heard me say this, and I've sat in those football meetings for over a decade with coaches from everywhere, and you get nothing done because everybody's got their own agenda, and it goes in circles. Now you get, the right people in a limited number together, and you get into this kind of thing. This will happen, I think. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't happen at some point. No, I was reading and underlining exactly what you said just a few minutes ago, Craig. I saw it. Yeah.
So, anyway, I know there's a whole lot to get into, but that's something to definitely keep your eye on, what happens there.
The Southern Cal-UCLA ball game is big. Utah-Oregon is a very interesting ball game. It's around here, and I'm fascinated in it now. What's 11 o'clock game is TCU-Baylor.
TCU-Baylor, and this is the first time, Pat, that a team 10-0 or better has been favored by a field goal or fewer in a regular season game since 2015, when Iowa was an 11-0 team, two-point favorite at 5-6. Nebraska won the game 28-20. I've seen guys from the Bear, Chris Felica, to Scott Van Pelt last night. They like the Baylor side of this game.
Well,
I kind of like the other side, Pat. Our man
I
Rick
do
Haynes,
too. I
mean,
well,
picked TCU yesterday.
Baylor is Baylor's funny at times to me. They look, because I like what they're doing and they play really hard, and it doesn't look like to me they try to trick the game up too much. But they've been up and down a little bit more than I thought they would this year, and to have a pretty good football team. TCU's got it going on, I think team speed, again, will prevail in this one.
In the Utah-Oregon game, Pat, can you believe this is the first time since 2015 that Oregon has been favored over Utah?
Well,
they've been an underdog each of the last six against the Utes. And the Utes, what'd you say, Matt, 2.5-point favorite in this one? Utah
is two. Okay, you're forcing me right now. Well, do I have to? What if that's if this game is my pick?
You can lock it right now. You can lock it if you want to right now.
I'm locking Oregon right now.
All right. Pat is going with the Oregon Ducks plus the 2.5. This is T&W Tire Lock of the Week. We'll get to the rest of those here in a few minutes. Texas, Kansas, Pat, any chance for a Jayhawk upset there at home?
Yeah, I think there is. Again, I think Leipold's going to be at Nebraska or Wisconsin, next year. But and they'll have a big crowd. Texas is, again, at 11-11. They're a little bit of a mystery team. Kansas, this was his landmark win a year ago. I'm not sure where the Texas program is right now. I mean, it wouldn't shock me for Texas to beat them 3 touchdowns. And I guess that's just force of habit over the years. Or it wouldn't surprise me, really, because of the job that the Leipold and them are doing. The tailback's still running, and all this kind of stuff. It wouldn't shock me for KU. What's the line on that game, Matt?
Like 9.5 or something,
yes,
Matt, right?
Somewhere in that range, yes.
Okay.
The last 3 years, Pat, Texas. Yeah, the last 3 years they've been favored by 31, 21, and 15, and those three games resulted last year a 1-point loss as a 31-point favorite. When they were favored by 21, they won by 2. And when they were favored by 15, they won by 7. Anyway.
Kansas, so, 9.5-point favorite. That's right. 9.5.
No, Texas. Yeah, Texas.
I beg your pardon. Texas.
But Texas. I mean, the Texas program has been in the black hole for the last decade. And kind of, they poked their head out a little bit, but they're still, you know, I mean, they
I think that's a good way of putting it. Okay. They're poking their head out. They're not right out of the ditch yet. I think that's pretty well put. And maybe next year they will be. I mean,
maybe they will.
I think Sarkisian's sharp. I'm not here to say he can't do the job.
But he's a sharp guy, but I'll say this. You know, however it comes out this year, next year, you know, if they're
it'll
not,
be a big year. Yeah,
it'll be a real big year. Be a real big year. Yes.
Okay, yep. And then on Bedlam, Pat, this is the seventh time that OU has been favored in the Big 12 game this year. Seven times, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of eight games. You know, they only played nine. This is the eighth, all right? And seventh time they've been favored out of those eight games. OU's 1-5 against the spread, 2-4 straight up in the previous six games.
Well, OU's another one's in the black hole. They're not very good. And of course, you know, Oklahoma State's not a heck of a lot. But there is no earthly telling what'll happen down there tomorrow. None, zero. There's no telling. You know, I mean, I think both quarterbacks will play well. I will be surprised if Gabriel doesn't play well, and I will be surprised. I think Spencer Sanders, if they, you know, and this is weird. You think about this. We talked about it the other day a little bit. If they both play good, who wins? If both these teams play good, who wins?
I think the answer to that question is Oklahoma State.
I do too,
but,
personally. But it's,
you know,
by,
I don't know,
by a thread.
Yeah,
I mean, now
right.
They both. It might be impossible for both of them to play good.
Well, that's
because
they haven't done it.
When you say play good, yeah. To me, if they're healthy, that the problem with OSU right now, Pat, is especially on the defensive side, they just have had so many injuries. To me, they don't resemble the defense that they were earlier this year. Definitely don't resemble last year.
Throw out the injuries, because everybody's got injuries at this point in time.
Well,
these guys are both so sorry on special teams, it stinks. They ought to be both embarrassed by themselves. Maybe if they just cut out special teams, put the ball down and play like a Saturday scrimmage.
Now you're talking Craig's language there.
Yeah, but just put it down. Don't have any kicking.
Well, that,
no extra points.
That might
kickoffs,
help Oklahoma
punts.
Based on what happened last week, Pat, as you talked
well,
about.
Well, I mean, Oklahoma,
made about
Oklahoma,
every special team.
Well, they
stick.
Did. Oklahoma State's done the same thing, though. They've been doing the same stuff. It didn't accumulate quite as quickly as with OU, but they're about the same way, you know, with the special team. Mike admitted it,
yeah.
You know, and also I have no I picked Oklahoma State 28-27, which means I have no earthly idea. I'll be surprised again if you point out, Craig. I think Spencer Sanders will play his you-know-what off. Well, can he finish the game? Because he's going to have to be a runner.
If he's healthy, yes, he needs to be a runner. And if he is healthy, well, then he's the best player on the field, in my opinion,
yeah.
At least.
Oh, I
but,
now, can he be healthy by the fourth quarter?
Yeah. Right.
You know?
And, yeah, can he have a steady diet? Last week it was great. He came in, won the game for him, but he didn't have to do that much. He only ran the ball 3 times for 6 yards. You know, I mean, he didn't take a pounding, in other words. I think he's going to have to take some hits for them to win this game. So.
Oh, no, he's going to have to. He's going to have to. You know, and I think whether you know if Ford if those two defensive linemen are healthy and can play, you know, Travis Ford or Ford and Lacy and
yep.
Ford, yeah.
But they've been hurt
because they're
yeah.
good players. Yeah, they've been hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma State's not out of defensive linemen, but you know, excuse me.
No, they're definitely not. But like Matt said, the bigger concern is in the secondary. For OSU, man, the injuries have piled up. They're moving guys around.
Neither one of them are any good. Neither secondary is any good. They're not.
No, neither one are great, even when they're healthy, you know, in the secondary.
But Bowman, you know, the young kid down there is a good player, and he's been all beat up. But, I mean, this is – I don't think it's probably not possible for both of them to play good. I wonder if it's possible for one of them to play good.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Good. It's the Lock of the Week. Sponsored by T&W Tire. They offer 24-hour road service and a variety of other services to get your vehicle back on the road where it belongs. The Lock of the Week on WWLS, the sports animal.
All right, time for our T&W Tire Locks of the Week. Pat Jones jumped in last hour and made his. For the people that weren't listening, Pat, what's your T&W Tire
Oregon,
Lock of the Week?
Oregon. What, Utah, Oregon? I got Oregon. What made you say Utah's favored by 2.5?
Yes,
2.5.
If you got the Ducks, you're okay. Taking 2.5 with you. That's right.
I got the Ducks.
Could be a bounce
first
back situation.
2015.
Yep.
But yeah, they said that Oregon is favored. Well, they're not favored, though. I mean,
no.
Utah's mm-mm. favored.
Utah's
yeah.
a favorite.
All right.
Okay. Let's see, Matt, who do you have?
I wish I would have made this pick earlier in the week because I would have gotten another point, but those are the breaks. I do this from time to time because it's kind of a win, halfway win kind of thing. I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings, +1.5 against the Cowboys.
Oh, boy, okay.
Matt making his anti-Cowboy pick. +1.5, Matt?
I'm 1-1 going against the Cowboys this year. I had the Bucks against the Cowboys earlier this year. That was an easy winner. I had the Rams against the Cowboys, and that was an easy loser, in which I come out a winner because the Cowboys won the game. So every now and then I'll do this just for the heck of it. But, yeah, Minnesota.
That's kind of sacrilegious for you, really.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
I think he's trying to influence the game, Pat. He thinks if he bets against the Cowboys, then they'll win.
Well, I'm getting the better team on their home field plus 1.5. I mean, there's some value there.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going back to the game. I've looked at this all week, and I know I said earlier, you know, Chris Felica, SVP, jumping on the side of Baylor. Baylor only getting 2.5 points. Yes, they are at home. And I know, you know, last year, I mean, as a 2-point loss to Baylor that, you know, I mean, to TCU, Baylor lost by 2 points to TCU last year, might have kept him out of a college football playoff berth, all right? But, Pat, I just can't get that Baylor K-State game out of my mind. That was also at home in Waco, and K-State blew him off the field. TCU has too much to play for. I just got to believe TCU is going to win this game by more than 2.5 points, Pat. So I think it's with our man Rick Haynes.
I like it. I like that pick. I mean, and that might be the game that I'm looking forward to the most this week, to be honest about it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
NFL.
Pat, NFL-wise.
Well, I'm looking, Craig, same thing you do. I look at USA Today on this. And my premier game is the one Matt's talking about, Dallas at Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree.
6-3 Dallas against 8-1 Minnesota, you know, and Minnesota has quietly, you know, really – I think surprised us all. We don't know what to make of Dallas now. Is Parsons healthy, or is he still limping around? Or they said, or
he doesn't look quite right to me. I'm not saying he's been playing bad. I haven't quite seen, particularly against Green Bay. I didn't really see the explosion that you normally see out of him. I hope. Yeah, hopefully. I'd just assume him be healthy. He's going to need to be. I think the Vikings are really good. You know, I watched more of the Bills game last week than I have of the Vikings all year long. And they were on Monday night against the Eagles, and the Eagles got after them pretty good. But that's the only game they've lost. That was a heck of a win against Buffalo. Coming back against that team.
You wonder emotionally a little bit in that regard, man.
I will say from that standpoint, I do think it's a decent spot for the Cowboys because – and Pat, you coached in that league for a decade. Sometimes a loss like that, I guess it can go one of two ways, but sometimes a loss like the Cowboys had last week where you blow a big lead, at times that can get you refocused. It can get you, you know, paying better attention throughout the week. in practice, I would think. The Vikings coming off a game, you know, it was kind of a validation game for the Vikings.
It was.
I mean, just, good way people questioning the Vikings, they really that good? Well, you go and beat Buffalo, and it's, yeah, to me, it's time to end the questions on the Vikings. So I do think from that standpoint, that could play to Dallas's benefit a little bit.
If Minnesota is patient enough, and they might be, Matt, Dalvin Cook over or under 100 yards rushing?
Over. Unquestionably
okay.
Over.
See, that's kind of where I go. I mean, Minnesota appears to be fairly patient.
Yeah.
You know, and pick your spots with Cousins and Dalvin Cook, and Craig, we've said that for years. I mean, this guy, when he's healthy, I mean, he's hard to handle.
One of the better
he had
ones.
The big run in the game last week when they're down by 17. Yeah. That never becomes a game if he doesn't break the long one,
right.
Get him back
right.
Within 10, gave him some hope. Yeah, no, you're exactly right, Pat. So, no, it's the game of the weekend. The 8-1 Vikings at home against the 6-3 Cowboys. That's the late afternoon game on CBS.
Kansas City and the Chargers is always an interesting ball game.
Sunday night game. And then
Jets Patriots. 6-3 Jets at 5-4. All of a sudden here, you know, Patriots are, you know, you don't think they're any good, and who's going to play quarterback and who's going to play what, and lo and behold, they're 5-4. You know, they kind of find ways to get a little bit better, you know, and all this, and the Jets, they're doing a heck of a job up there. That will be a very interesting game. Patriots
and,
favored by 3, huh? Is that
In the first meeting this year, the Patriots won that game against the Jets. But the Jets are a game up on the Patriots in the standings in that division. You had Zach Wilson yesterday. Now, Zach Wilson threw 3 picks in the first meeting against the Patriots on October the 30th. Yesterday, he said, basically, I still believe that nobody outside this building knows what they're talking about. He did throw for a career-high 355 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game, but the Jets lose the game 22-17. Like I said, he threw the 3 picks, so that's a little backstory also in that game. But, Pat, the Jets are one of the surprises this year. I mean, most people didn't expect them to be 6-3 at this point.
I mean, who knows what the Colts are? You know, and of course, you got the Eagles at Colts. You
just
know,
Saturday,
and,
yeah.
Yeah,
got
I mean,
the win
and,
last week.
Yeah, and then there's no earthly telling. I mean, Hurts and the Eagles are still, you know, they're a good football team. I can't sit here and say the Colts are a good football team, you know, with all that. But who knows on that one, you know? I mean, Eagles favored by 6.5 on what I'm looking at, you know?
Yeah. It'd be hard for me to go against the Eagles, but I understand what you're saying about Jeff Saturday and so forth. He's a likable guy to me, though, Pat. I mean,
I agree with Coward and all of them that this is a goofy way to do it. But the guy is a nice guy, and you know Matt Ryan. Maybe that you know you got Ryan back in there, and he tends to be a bit up and down and all. I mean, I big picture wise. Agree with, you know, Cower and these guys that, you know, that's kind of a affront to the profession to do that. But what the hell, you know, see if you can win a ball game.
Pat, any chance my Steelers could win at home against the Bengals? Bengals favored by 3.5 is what I'm showing.
Oh, boy.
In that one, I'm a little surprised the spread is that low. I don't know. Maybe I haven't given the Steelers enough credit this year. Just never have been that high on them. They're only 3-6. Bengals, I still say if the Bengals get it rolling and get Chase back in there, and I mean, just, you know, they still have some firepower, in my opinion.
Is Pickett getting better, Craig? Have you paid much attention to him? And
I haven't really. I mean, he's been not bad. I mean, against good competition and so forth. He's been.
He'll probably be a pretty
be.
Right, yeah. Right, a developing young player. He's probably going to be a good player. You know,
I haven't paid
a great deal of attention to them just lately. But you know, the Burrow and the Bengals, you know, they're 8-4. I'm sorry, 5-4.
5-4.
You know,
yeah.
5-4. You know, they're kind of a mystery team. So who knows?
And then I tell you another one, the Monday night game. We can talk more Monday, but the 49ers, Pat. Against the Cardinals, that's one of the higher spreads on the board this week. I think, 8.5, Matt, 49er favored in that one. You know, the Cardinals have been a mess this year.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.